Our message is entitled Praying for Your Church. Praying for Your Church. And I want to give us some things from Scripture this morning that are pointers on how to pray for your church. Over the years, I've always encouraged people to pray. And I've done prayer conferences and prayer seminars and series on prayer and different things of that nature. And prayer is very important. And we have our prayer list, and that gives us lots of prayer material, certainly for our church and in our church family. But what about praying specifically for your church, for our church as a whole? The church is us, right? The body of Christ. I'm not talking about this building. This building could potentially be anything. When the church leaves here, this isn't the church. This is just the building where the church meets. We're the church. When we come, we bring the church with us. When we leave, we take the church with us. And we're supposed to be the church everywhere we go. And we're supposed to be praying for the church, and I think in some specific ways. So I want to give you some pointers this morning. I've had people say, how do I pray for my church specifically? In general, we know that we have a prayer list with lots of health needs and spiritual needs and those kind of things. But what about for the church as a whole? How do I pray for the church? Well, let's read some scripture beginning, first of all, this morning in Colossians chapter number 1. We're going to start reading in verse 9. It says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness." Let's pray once more before we get into this morning. Father, we thank You for this time. We can come now and look into Your Word, and we ask that it would speak to our hearts as the supernatural living truth that it is. God, help us this morning to be challenged in this area of praying for our church. We ask for Your will to be done and for our hearts to be moved in just the way that You know each of us need. In Jesus' name, amen. We know that Paul was a mighty missionary, and that's how we think of him many times. When we think of him initially, if you say Paul, people think the missionary journeys of Paul, and certainly he was a mighty missionary. He started churches all over the Roman Empire. He boldly preached the message of Christ. He was also, though, a prayer warrior. He was a prayer warrior. Repeatedly in his letters to the churches, Paul gives testimony of his prayers. He prayed for the churches. He prayed for fellow workers. We see in the scripture that he prayed for the saints. He prayed for God's will to be done in and through the church. And so like Paul, we have to constantly pray for the church. Eternal Life Baptist Church needs fervent prayers of its people. It needs the fervent prayers of its people every day. In Colossians 1 here, verses 9 to 11, we find this prayer of Paul for the church. And I think if God inspired the heart of Paul to pray this way, and we know it is God's inspired word because it's recorded in the word, this is a good template for us when we pray for the church. We need to examine Scripture and how to pray. So let's examine Scripture this morning on how to pray for the church. Number one, that we might know the will of God. We need to pray that we might know the will of God. Now, this is God's church. Amen? This church does not belong to any pastor. It does not belong to the board of deacons. It does not belong to any one of us, any of us in the body. It is God's church. We are His people, and we collectively are to pray for God's will. Not doing the will of God should be really a ridiculous notion for the church. Any body of believers. Not doing the will of God, that should seem ridiculous and the farthest thing from what we want to do in our understanding of Scripture. So all things need to be done according to God's will, never that of any other. And that's why we need to pray together, to seek God's will together, to do what God would have our church to do. In verse 9, it says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in" what? All wisdom and spiritual understanding. Filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So, how do I pray for my church? Pray that God's will is clear to the leadership and to the church as a whole. When you pray for the church, pray that we might know the will of God. Number two this morning is that we might walk in the way of God. That we might walk in the will of God. You know, to see God's will is one thing. But we can't just see God's will. We need to walk in God's will and do God's will. You know, a lot of times in our life, there's certain things that we know we need to do. We know we need to get to. We know needs to be taken care of. Just the knowledge of it doesn't get it done, does it? So we can know what God's will is, but once we know what it is, then we have to walk in the way that He leads us in, doing it. Verse 10, in the first part of that verse, says that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. We'd walk worthy. We need to pray that as a church, we'll have the courage to do God's will. We need the courage to stand against a rising tide of liberalism within the churches even, of those who oppose Scripture, even in the churches, mainstream churches across this country, who are saying, well, you know, I know the Bible says this, but that's not relevant. No, it's all relevant to today just as much as it was the day it was written. It's God's Word, period. God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we're trying in many places across our country and many groups around our country are in the name of Christ opposing Scripture, saying it's God's will. That's wrong. Sometimes it's difficult to do what is right, but it is always pleasing to God and brings God glory. So we need to pray that we will walk in the way of God. It's not always an easy path. In fact, it often meets resistance. When you do the will of God in your life, many, many times, very, very often, you're going to meet resistance. Sadly, sometimes within the church, certainly outside of the church, you'll meet with resistance. Because there are those who will walk carnally and who will see carnally, and then there are those outside the church who are unsaved and don't understand scriptural things, and it doesn't make sense to them, and they can't get the picture of what God's trying to do, because they're not walking with God. That's why it's so important that we walk with God day by day and stay close to Him, because God's way requires obedience and it requires faith. And it's the prayer and desire of your pastor that eternal life is moving forward, pleasing God in every way. So how do I pray for my church? Well, pray that we'll always seek to walk in God's way and not our own. That we'll always seek to walk in God's way and not our own, that we'll walk in the way of God. As we continue on to number three this morning, some of you saw 6 points and thought, man, it's going to be a snoozer this morning. Number three is that we might do the work of God. That we might do the work of God. We are to be about God's work, about God's business. In verse 10, in the second part of that verse, the text says, being fruitful in every good work. Apostle Paul prayed for the church that they'd be fruitful in their work, that they would be about the work of God. So if the church isn't going to effectively do God's work, then why does the church even exist? That's what we're here for. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He gave us a very clear mission. He gave us an example in how to do it. He showed us how to have love and compassion and empathy and how to draw people to Himself. He showed us how to stand against that which was evil and to love that which is good. So we need to do the work of God. If the church isn't going to do that, then we have to assess, well, why are we even here? The primary function of a church is to carry out God's work, and anything less is contrary to God's purpose for the church and therefore becomes useless to God. By God's grace, we never want to be a body of believers that is not a tool in the hand of God. We have to carry out His work, and that's worshiping Him, and that's discipling His people, and that's evangelizing the lost, and that's ministering to people with needs, and that's fellowshipping together as a body. All those things are part of doing the work of God. We find them all in Scripture as part of a vital, of a well-functioning, healthy body of believers. So we need all of the members of this body working together, doing their part, fulfilling the work of God for Eternal Life Baptist Church. So how do I pray for my church? Pray that we will always seek to do God's work God's way. That we'll always seek to do God's work God's way. And so we want to know the will of God, and we want to walk in the way of God, and we want to make sure that we're doing the work of God. And number four, that we might grow in the knowledge of God. pray that we as a church, as a body of Christ, will grow in the knowledge of God. As a church family, we're on a constant journey of spiritual growth. That's just part of our individual lives, it should be. Each day we need to be growing closer to God. It's an ever-growing journey until one day we stand in His presence. So then collectively as a body, as we grow individually, then we begin to grow as a body of Christ in our spiritual maturity. It's a desire of God for all believers to grow in their faith. And Paul refers to this in the last part of verse 10, increasing in the knowledge of God. Increasing in the knowledge of God in 10c. So my prayer for our church and our church family is that we'll continually grow deeper and deeper in our faith. There's an occasion in 1 Corinthians, by the way, where Paul reprimands a church for not having spiritual growth, not growing the way they should. And this is what he says in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 to 2. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. Often churches are simply spiritually immature. And I will say that in the last couple of years that I've had the privilege of being the pastor here at Eternal Life Baptist Church, and in the time that I've been here as associate and then as pastor, I've seen a lot of spiritual growth in our church. I've seen God continually working and continually growing our church. And that's what we have to continue to always be doing, is growing closer to God, becoming more like Christ, loving one another more as we love God. But sadly, a lot of churches are very spiritually immature. They have very limited understanding of the things of God. Once again, why is it the pastors say, read your Bible, be in your Bible every day? It's not about quantity. It's not about how much you read every day. It's that you read and you get something from it. If you read one verse that day and that verse stands out to you and it's kind of in your face and you need to park right there, then park right there and pray about it and grow from it and learn from it, because it's not about how many chapters I get through in a day. It's about what can God help me with today. We need to be spiritually mature Christians. By God's grace, we will always rightly divide the word of truth at Eternal Life Baptist Church. Anyone in any church anywhere in the world who stands in the pulpit and preaches needs to make sure that they are rightly dividing the word of truth and preaching and teaching the whole counsel of God. We can't pick and choose what we like or don't like, what's comfortable or uncomfortable, what's easy or not easy to preach and teach. We preach and teach the whole counsel of God because it is good for our spiritual growth and development, that we might be the salt and light that God would have us to be. In years to come, there will be opportunities before our church, and they'll become greater and greater. The needs are becoming greater all the time. But they have to be met with spiritual maturity and a keen knowledge of the things of God. So, how do I pray for my church? Well, pray that we'll grow in the knowledge of God and mature in our faith. Pray that we'll grow in the knowledge of God and mature in our faith. That brings us to number 5 this morning, that we might have the power of God. Boy, we need the power of God, don't we? My prayer is that we'll work and serve in the power of God. The first part of verse 11 in our text says, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. Whose power? His power. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. Church work and ministry work in the life of every believer can be hard work. It can be difficult. It can come up against a lot of resistance. God's work is difficult by its very nature. Look at the ministry of Jesus. Yes, many received Him, but the majority rejected Him and wanted to see Him die because of His claim to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So it's not always easy. It's always a blessing. There's always joy in it. But it's not always easy. We need to have the power of God and be empowered by His strength to be able to stand when things get hard. We can't do His power, or His work rather, in our own power. It won't work. It'll fail. Our strength, our personal strength at times, yes, will fade. But God's everlasting power is abundant, and He'll give us strength to carry on. Isaiah 40, verses 30 and 31 are great reference to this. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and shall walk and not faint. How do we stay strong in the Lord? How do we stay strong in the work? How do we not burn out in what we're doing for God? By not doing it in my power. By following the will of God, doing what God equips and calls us to do, doing it with the love of God for the love of people. And yes, there are times that our body becomes tired and we need to have the proper rest and restoration for our body, but we shouldn't burn out spiritually or fizzle out spiritually on what God's called us to do in our life, because He will empower us to do that. If we'll wait upon the Lord, if we'll walk with God, if we'll tap into His spiritual power, He will give us renewed strength to keep going so we can accomplish what He has for us to do. This passage reminds us of how weak and how prone we are to failure when we're left to ourselves. We're left to our own devices. Ever tried to do ministry work in your own power? Anybody that's going to be honest, I'll say there's been times I've tried that. Tried to go on in my own ability, my own strength. You will fall flat on your face. You just can't do it. You just can't keep it up. You need that supernatural power of God and restoration of Christ and the renewal of His word and prayer. You need His Holy Spirit empowering you so that we can continue. We forget many times how powerful God really is to empower us and to sustain us. We can't even begin to approach what God has if we'll just trust Him and not trust our own ability. So, how do I pray for my church? Well, pray that we'll have God's power to do God's work. Pray that we'll have God's power to do God's work. The number six this morning is that we might find the joy of God. We might find the joy of God. So my prayer is that our church will be a church of true joy. You know the difference between joy and happiness? We all have moments of happiness throughout each day of our life many times. Sometimes we go through a day or a week or a period of time where we really don't have happiness. There's dark times we go through, difficult times we go through, crisis times that we don't really have happiness. But we can have joy even when we don't have the emotion of happiness. We can have the spiritual joy of God. We need to be a church of true joy. And Paul prayed for the Colossian church to be a church filled with joy and with thanksgiving to God. The end of verse 11 and into verse 12, it says, "With joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." We have every reason to be filled with joy. Joyfulness and thanksgiving. Why? Because we're part of the family of God. We're children of God. We have a home in heaven. We have a purpose. We have something worth living for. When we follow all of the things of this world and this life, and we live for what we can attain and what we can get, and the recognition and the titles and the power and all of that, it's emptiness. There's emptiness. People work their entire life to attain fortunes and become the top of their game, and they get to the top and realize there's nothing there. And they've had a lot of happiness along the way. They've had a lot of ups and downs, but they've never found joy, because outside of Christ and walking with Christ, you won't find true joy. Happiness. Can people go to a wild beer party and get drunk and high and be happy? Sure, they can have some moments of happiness in that. They're not going to find joy in it. And in fact, ultimately, the end result of a lifestyle like that is a lot of pain. Jesus gives us joy. Joy comes from focusing on Him. We have every reason to have joy. Look at Paul's reason there in verse 12. It says, "Which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." So with so many reasons to be joyful, sadly, many churches are not places of joy. Over the years, I've gone to a lot of churches. I spent some time off and on different times in evangelism. My dad can tell you, having spent 18 years full-time in evangelism, you can go into a lot of churches and, man, there's just no joy there. There's a lot of churches that, you know, one of the great things about our church that I love is very often when I talk to people after they visited our church the first time, and this is to God's glory, they'll say, "Boy, we really appreciate how your church is friendly. how friendly your church is. We need to guard that spiritually and continue in that, but understand that that is not how it is, sadly, in the majority of churches I've been in throughout my life. Many churches have lost their joy. And we can always find something to be down about. That's not hard. All you have to do is turn on any of the 14,000 news networks or websites. We can always find something to be down about. You always find something to be depressed about, but to focus on Christ and focus on His work and focus on His mission that He's given to us as individuals and to collectively as a church is to focus on the work of God for our church, to focus on His power, to focus on His provision, focus on the answers to prayer, to focus on the things that will bring ongoing joy. So how do you pray for your church? Pray that we'll be a church where joy abounds. Pray there will be a church where joy abounds. So in conclusion, I want to ask you these three questions. I want you to answer in your heart honestly. Number one, do you pray for your church? Maybe you go through the prayer list and you pray in that way, but collectively as a body, do you pray for your church? I've given you a lot of ways this morning to do that. When you pray, what do you pray for? What do you pray for? What is your prayer life like? Is your prayer life very dry and very empty? Is your prayer life the type that many times you find yourself not being able to make it through prayer because you fall asleep? Or it's okay to go to bed at night and fall asleep praying. That's a good thing. I'm talking about in your prayer closet, in your prayer time. Is it a time of that's dynamic, that's full of joy, that you have plenty to pray about? Do you know how to pray? Thirdly, if you're not praying for your church, will you start right away? Will you honestly and earnestly start? Again, I'm asking these questions for each of us to answer in our own heart. Here's a template this morning. If nothing else, even if you didn't take a single note this morning, if you have this sheet that was inside your bulletin this morning, those points are ways to pray for your church. Ways to pray for our body of Christ. When righteous people pray, by the way, when God's people pray, God's power falls and things happen. And not even the greatest forces of hell, even Satan himself, cannot stop what God puts into motion. Because He's God. So pray for our church. Pray for its leaders. Pray for all of us who make up this wonderful family. Pray that we'll be faithful to God's purpose. We need prayer. We need prayer that is full of power. And we need the touch of God. Amen. Let's stand together with heads bowed and eyes closed this morning. Father, thank You for Your word and for its truth. Certainly this morning, Lord, as we think about prayer, it's something that many believers struggle with. Many believers don't know what to pray or how to pray. Or Father, maybe sometimes there's just things in our hearts and in our lives that we need to get rid of so that we can focus on You and we can pray and we can hear from You and we can sense the moving of Your Holy Spirit. And Lord, this morning our message has not been evangelistic, but certainly if there's anyone in this room that they don't understand all of this about prayer because they don't know Jesus, may they, even as Your word was given this morning, realize that there is a loving God who gave a loving Savior to save their soul, to give them a relationship with You. And Father, we ask for each believer, may we look deeply into our hearts, be very honest. How do we pray? How is our prayer life? How do we pray for our church? May we be challenged to be even better at the time we spend with You. We ask for Your help and Your will and our invitation time in Jesus' name. Amen.